How are you, Mr. Hochberg?
I'm great.
David is the Vice President of Lending at Team Hochberg and the host of Home Sweet Home Chicago. Saturday mornings at 10 on WGN Radio. Bob Kessler and our friends in the WGN Radio newsroom continue to monitor what's happening in a suburban high school outside of Atlanta where two people have been killed and four shot. Those are the numbers we have so far. Bob will keep you posted. David and I, talking off the air, wondered if maybe high premiums, insurance policies for gun owners like car owners would be something that made it more difficult for young people or any people to get guns.
And again, I don't want to get into a Second Amendment, debate here with people, but you drive an automobile, you drive a truck, you need insurance to operate a vehicle that could get you from point A to point B, and if not used properly, could kill somebody or a number of people, especially if you're on a busy intersection or just having a bad day and want to take people out with your car, right? It could be a missile, okay? I don't understand why we don't have the conversation. Instead of banning guns, which that's a pushing an elephant up a hill, what about just having insurance? If you want to carry a gun, great, carry a gun.
And would you do it like you do premiums for drivers then? Young men pay the highest premium, as they should. So a teenager who wants to get a gun, say any male under the age of, look it up, and then pick the line and below that, maybe below 25, the premium is $2,000 a year.
My 16-year-old daughter, who just got her driver's license in April, pays more of a premium than she will if she's a good driver when she's 26.
Right.
And she'll pay less when she's 36 and, God willing, 46 and 66.
I wonder if the idea, though, would be that the premium would be so high that it would keep guns out of the hands of the people who should not have them.
Well, then you'd have the pushback where, there's got to be an actuary table. I just don't hear that conversation, right? It's always banned guns, don't ban guns, Second Amendment. You're against the Constitution. Okay, listen, we've been fighting that fight for 200 plus years, right? But I don't want to go down that path, but why not carry insurance? I just think it makes sense.
I thought Senator Paul Simon had a good take on this, the downstate longtime Democrat.
Yeah, a long time.
And he said, let's charge a lot for bullets.
Okay. That's another way to do it.
Because I don't think there's a Second Amendment right to bullets.
Right.
You can have a gun and you can get bullets, but let's make the bullets cost an enormous amount of money, at least for some of those guns. Maybe not shotgun shells for hunting.
And then you'll have people that will make bullets in their garage and in their basement.
I have a family member that does that.
Yeah.
It's 11:38. This is WGN. David is here to talk about interest rates. So Steve Alexander said yesterday it's like 6.4 for a 30-year fix.
Yeah, that's kind of artificially low, but that's what they're reporting. That's what Steve's reporting because that's the information that Steve's is getting. It doesn't include all the overlays and the factors like credit scores and.
All right, if I have a 700 credit score and I want a 30-year fix.
They'll start with the sixes today.
6.5?
Yeah, 6.5 to 6.875, depending upon what you're trying to do, what the goals are. I quoted a guy yesterday, 800 credit score. He wanted to do a cash-out refinance of his home. He lived in a $500,000 home. He needed $250,000 out. It was under 60% of the value of his home. I think the rate was like 6.625 if he was covering costs and 6.875 if he wanted a closing cost credit.
So are people buying down the rate much right now?
If you work at a bank, they are. If you work with us, we're not encouraging that. I just talked to a guy. I quote him a rate. He's doing a bank statement loan, 80% cash out. He lives in a $1.1 million home. His bank quoted him one discount point. He'll be in the sixes, and I was in the sevens without a discount point. So I ran the numbers. I'm like, difference in the payment is $560. They want you to lay out over $8,600 in discount points. Let's do the math here. It's going to take you over 14 months to gain back that $8,600 that you need for the cash.
But if you're going to live in the house for more than a year and a half.
But if you think it's a downwardly immobile rate market for the first time in 30 months, which typically as they go up, they've gone up rapidly. And as they come down gradually. So every financial professional that I follow anticipates a gradual decline in the rate. Plus, he's getting adjusted for the rate. you know, because
so
he's
doing
cash out.
So don't buy down the rate now.
Don't buy down the rate
because
now.
It's going to go to, what would you, but if I'm buying now, would you refinance in a
yes,
year and a half or
two? I'd refinance every 6-7 months.
Well, but the calculation on that then is how long before you get the money back with the closing cost?
If I give you a full closing cost credit, there the payback's right away.
What is a closing cost?
Okay, you have a $300,000.
Aren't I ultimately paying that?
Yes, okay, and here's how. Right, you have a $300,000 loan on a $600,000 home, $400,000 home, whatever you got. Right, I could take you from 7.5 right now. And I'm just using these as an example because I don't have the rate sheets in front of me. I could take you from the high sevens, right, down to 7 1/8 right now. Give you a full closing cost credit, or I could get you down to 6.875 in this example without any specific particulars, and you'd have to pay $3,000 in closing costs. Okay. I took you down at almost a full point, and you're saving, let's say, $200-$300 a month to cost you nothing, or you're going to invest $3,000, and you're going to save an extra $20-$30 a month. Does that make sense?
I don't know if it. Dave, it does it. But I'm just here's.
Maybe no,
I'm
it
not,
doesn't.
Well, maybe I'm not following you because there are closing costs, and so
right.
If the broker or what the realtor covers that, you're amortizing that. You're paying that.
It's called premium pricing. It's based into the rate. So if depending upon your loan amount, if I take you from the high sevens to the low sevens. And I have enough premium in that 7 1/8, 7 1/4, and you're still saving money, and I could give you a full closing cost credit. Does it really make sense to invest another $3,000 to save another 1/8 or 1/4 of a point? Doesn't to me.
Well, are people shopping the monthly then? Is that what they do?
I stop them from shopping the rate. I stop them dead in their tracks because the banks want you to pay the discount points because they don't want you to refinance every 6 months. Okay, that's why they're doing that. They're selling the rate. I don't sell the rate, never have, never will. Doing this 24 years, August 1st. I sell the payment. I sell the payment to put you and your family in the best financial situation and position to succeed. If everybody's predicting that rates are finally starting to drop, remember that genius that said that rates were going to drop 6 times earlier in the year? I'll never forget that. And you had me on and you're like, what do you think? I'm like, I think the guy should wait till the first rate cut, right? We're finally going to get it, hopefully in September here. And, you know, hopefully we get 1 or 2 more before the end of the year. So if we think we're in a downwardly mobile rate market, which every financial expert that I follow thinks we are, we're probably going to see the fives by the summer of next year. So why pay any closing costs or discount points? It's a sucker's bet, in my opinion.
Would you just wait until it gets to 5?
Why wait? What, if I had $200 on the table right there in front of you, would you let it sit there for another 6 months? Or would you pocket the $200 and pocket the $1,200 and then pick up another $200 next June, July, when rates drop again, if and when rates drop again?
I don't know what you just said.
If I have $200 in front of you right now,
yeah,
and I could save, and I could put $200 in front of you every single month at the first of the month, I drop.
What's with the $200?
That's what you'd be saving if you refinance now. You asked me, should I wait 6 months to refinance when rates drop?
$200 for 7 months, 8 months.
If I
$1,600.
Right. If I could save you a couple hundred, $200-$300 a month until the next time that it's time to refinance, you're gonna bypass that $200-$300 a month. I won't.
Hold on. So I'm going to wait maybe 9 months. Rate will be in the fives. Now I'm
and we do it again.
You got to do it again.
We do it again. Well, yeah. I mean, all I need is pay stubs and bank statements. I already did the appraisal this time around. The appraisal is good for 12 months.
Really? Does anybody do that? Do they refinance every year or so
if
the rates are going down?
My clients do.
How much does it have to go down from any given point before it makes sense?
Depends on your loan amount, right? If those with $600,000-$700,000 loans, 1/4 point makes a huge difference on a $600,000-$700,000 loan.
Yeah.
On a $100,000-$200,000 loans, it makes it a little more challenging.
Then you say somewhere in between. Say I'm borrowing $350,000.
Sure.
Then
about a 1/4 to a 0.5 point.
Really?
Yeah. It's that big of a difference over 30 years. Gas, last time I checked, coming in was still $3.75 a gallon, still costing $80 to load up your tank.
You are buying it at the wrong place.
Okay, well, I don't live in Ottawa, so I live in Northbrook. It's still $3.75.
Are you harping about the cost of gas?
No,
right
I'm just
now?
Using that as an example, right? I load up my tank at least once a week.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm putting $70 in my tank once a week, it's $280 a month. Right. If I could save you $200 a month or $280 a month. That covers your gas expenses
for a month. Isn't the seventh ring of hell, though, refinancing and looking for bank statements and pay stubs and letters from the Pope and all that jazz?
Not if you work with us. Maybe if you work with somebody else. We make it as smooth as a baby's tuchus. Now, you know, sometimes you've got to deal with the condo association. Sometimes you've got trust issues. Not trust issues. You might have trust issues. But I'm saying if you have a revocable trust, irrevocable trust, land trust, I mean, those add a little bit of, challenge to the mix. But it is what it is, right? You want to save money, you refinance. If you don't, then don't.
Our number is 312-981-7200. You want to say hi? Bob is... David is here. I'm just looking at the names of some of the people who want to get in on the conversation. David Hochberg is here, the Vice President of Lending for Team Hochberg. He hosts our Home Sweet Home Chicago show Saturday mornings at 10, where he talks about everything from student debt to roofing and waxing your floors and stuff like that. Let's talk a little bit about, David Hochberg, what about all the hits to your credit? Somebody's talking about borrowing money, I guess.
Yeah.
Every time you refi, is that a hit on your credit? What does
this
mean?
Yeah, but the inquiries fall off after 90 days. I mean, you're going to be refinancing every 6-7 months, so it's not going to have a major impact. Plus, you're going to be able to see where your credit is every 6 months if the rates continue to go down and it makes sense to refinance. I'm not just saying to just automatically refinance every 6 months. The factors have to be there, right? You got to be able to have a low enough dip in the rate, and you got to be able to cover the closing costs, and you got to make sure you didn't blow up your credit in the 6 months.
All right, so my realtor friend says, well then, David, what are the closing costs associated with refinancing? I don't think you covered that.
I did. It costs about $3,000, right? He's probably going to get another drink. Costs about $3,000 to refinance.
Of coffee,
right, with whiskey in it, which is, we're not judging. It costs about $3,000, anywhere from $2,100 to $3,000, right? If you live in a condo, you got to get condo questionnaires. It's a couple hundred extra dollars. So $3,000 on the high side. And again, on a $400,000 loan, that extra quarter of a point generates enough revenue off of that loan. So you might not get 6.875 today, but you get 7 1/8.
And okay? That will cover the $3,000 that I just paid. Over
you didn't pay.
How long a period of time?
You didn't pay. It gets credited to you. It's built into the rate. So you go from 8% down to 7 1/8 in this example. It doesn't cost you anything. You just drop 7 7/8 of a point, and you're saving a couple hundred dollars a month.
But then you're rolling the $3,000 cost into loan.
No, you're not.
Well, David, where does that
$3,000
come from?
The money is coming from. So instead of putting you in at 6.875.
Oh, you put me in at a higher rate?
I put you in at 7 1/8. In this example, on the radio, talking like we're talking, so I don't get into trouble. Hypothetically, there's no APRs going on here, right? That 7.125 on a $300-some-thousand loan should be able to, on a typical day, cover an extra $3,000 in premium, which goes back to the borrower in the form of a credit.
I have an FHA mortgage with Freedom Mortgage from 2020, and the rate is 2.75. I'm still paying PMI.
Yes, you are.
The value of the house is well over 80-20. Do I need to refi to get rid of the PMI?
Yeah, that's the challenge. If you went into an FHA loan in 2020, I think that the rule changed. They screwed people over, I think, in 06. They changed the rule that if you put down less than 10%, you have PMI for the entire length of the loan, all 30 years. If you put down less than 10% when you bought the home or took the loan out, you will have PMI in a 30-year fixed loan for 16 years. That is, through FHFA, that is a horrible rule that they instituted.
What were they worried about? Because isn't it if you get to 20%, then there's enough equity in the house to cover?
Yes. There are a lot of... David Stevens, may he rest in peace. He was the head of one of the agencies during Obama's administration. Did a phenomenal job. The guy, and he just recently passed away. He instituted that rule, and I heard a podcast that he was on, and he took credit for that. It was great at the time because the monetary mortgage... The monetary mortgage insurance fund was at a deficit. It was like $16 million upside down. Now it's over the 2% allowable limit. I know I'm going into sausage making here, but at the time that rule was implemented, FHA was bleeding money. It's no longer bleeding money. It's fat as a cat as you could get. That rule needs to be changed. And also Sandra Thompson, the head of FHFA, should also pull back some of her loan level price adjustments.
This person doesn't want to pay PMI anymore.
That person's stuck.
At 2.75, don't give up 2.75. You're going to get a higher rate. You'll lose PMI, but you'll be paying more in the long run.
Right. If that listener calls me, I could tell what the break even, where would have to
get. That would be a good number to know. What does it have to be to make up my PMI?
I got to run numbers. Right. I got to
see. A question for David Hochberg is from Dan. You're on WGN. Hey, Dan, you're on the air.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, Dave, enjoy your commentary. Need clarification on refinancing. You indicated sometimes it might be advantageous to refinance every time if you get a lower rate.
Yep.
But if the consensus is right now we're going to have 100 basis points cut by the end of next year.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be more advantageous in wait until you get the 100 basis point cut and then refinance instead of refinancing after every cut?
What rate are you at now, Dan?
Oh, right now I don't have a mortgage.
Okay. Well,
thank goodness. But okay. I'm trying to understand the logic.
Okay. Here. So the logic is, Dan, mortgage interest rates have come down a full point over the past 6 weeks in anticipation of the Fed chairman's cut in 2 weeks. So what the general public doesn't know, and what I've been preaching on the radio on this show and other shows and my show, is that the rates have come down in anticipation of what the Fed chair is going to do. The bond traders, the men and women at the bond pit, are not sitting around waiting for what Fed chairman's going to do in a week or two. They've already baked in that he's going to drop the rates. So the mortgage interest rates have already come down. If I could save you, again, if I could save you $200 every single month today, and then save you another $200-$300 possibly in 6-8 months. Why would you bypass the $200 that you could save today if it doesn't cost you anything? That's the only thing I just want to throw out there. If I had a dollar, John, for every time, I'm going to wait for the Fed to drop the rates. The Fed rate baked is red. The Fed rate change drop is already baked into the 30-year fixed loan. It's already down a full point over the past 45
days. Really, you think
if
they lower it 50 basis points by the end of this year, you don't think you're going to see a significant drop in a 30-year fixed mortgage?
I think the rates will continue to go down because the men and women at the bond floor, at the bond pit, are going to anticipate future cuts coming because of all the information that I gave you that we didn't cover.
Okay, so you think it's going to go down yet again, but that's not because of what the Fed's going to do now, but anticipating what they're going to do next year.
What's happening with the economy? Look at what is happening in the economy.
Let's talk to Jane. You're on WGN. If we make it quick. Jane, what can we do for you?
Yeah, I got a question. I don't have any mortgage. Does it make sense to take out a mortgage in order to put on a new roof and solar panels on a house?
Well, it depends on how much the new roof is and how much the solar panels are. Most likely, you need about 30 to 50 to 60 grand and a home equity line of credit in that case. For that situation makes more sense than taking out a mortgage.
How much do you think your house is worth? How much credit do you think you...
Between $500,000 and $600,000.
How old are you, Jane?
I'm 82.
Okay. You ever think of taking out a reverse mortgage and not having to worry about paying back any of that money? You've got a ton of... You've got $500,000 in your home.
That's another possibility. I'm a word person. I'm not a numbers person.
Hey, let me ask you this. Have you got a quote on solar panels?
Nope.
I'm out of time, but this is just more and more people have been talking to me about this lately.
Yeah.
And I've heard from some listeners. I don't know that Illinois has a great program right now, although it is one of the best states in the union for solar panel policy. But I don't know what the status is of rebates.
You know who to ask? Kevin McDonough's got a client who does solar panels.
Really? Here at WGN?
Yeah, he's part of our show, but he's more into the commercial now. Nelnet. Is the name of the company.
I want the residential side to pick back up. I'm out of time today, Dave. Nice to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me.
David Hochberg is on Saturday mornings at 10. And if they want to reach out to you, sir, 855-56-DAVID.